Saints and Band on the Run and Blur Country House at a quarter past eight, the Full English Breakfast Show. India 293 for five, needing 35 runs to win the match in the series with just over six overs to go. Can they do it? Just smashed a six, actually. So, exciting stuff in Brisbane. A couple of animal mishaps to report. A swan smashed through a double glazed bathroom window moments after an elderly woman had left the room, said the RSPCA yesterday. The woman had been at the sink in front of a window just before the bird crashed in at a home in Barston and Fabbis in Nottinghamshire. The swan received stitches to a wound under her wing and is awaiting further treatment. The charity added the woman was so lucky to avoid serious injury. The swan ended up cut and dazed on the floor in the chalet home, but will make a full recovery and be re-released into the wild. What happened there?
Dear, oh dear.
His radar was off. Meanwhile, in Germany, a zookeeper's in hospital after being bitten by a camel. The 54-year-old man was cleaning out the camel enclosure and feeding the animals at the Perleberg Zoo, and when one turned suddenly and bit him in the face. Yeah. The worker, who hasn't been named, was taken to a local hospital for treatment after sustaining injuries. The zoo is currently closed after German coronavirus lockdown restrictions. Human injuries caused by camel bites are rare, but such attacks can inflict severe and often fatal wounds. Male camels are known to be more aggressive during the rutting season. Oh well, let's hope he makes a full recovery. The Full English Breakfast Show, this is new from the Gabriels. Love and Hate in a Different Time. Time for this morning's pop quiz.
Today it's all about birthdays. Okay, so US singer Dolly Parton was born on this day in 1946. Mm-hmm. Happy 75th birthday, Dolly. Tell me, are the following statements true or false? Dolly Parton wakes up like you at 3 a.m. every morning.
True.
Correct. Dolly doesn't sleep with her makeup on.
False.
No, she does sleep with her makeup on.
Well, she takes all...
She sleeps with it on.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
Oh, OK. Well, I'll give you that one then. The clone sheep Dolly was named after her.
No. False.
True. And finally, Dolly Parton once entered a Dolly Parton lookalike contest and she lost.
True.
It is true. No, that's true. Well done. Another US singer who was born on this day in 1943 was Janis Joplin. Died at the age of 27 in 1970.
27 Club.
Yeah, true or false, her last recording was a birthday greeting. And you get an extra point if you can tell me who it was for.
True.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Gave that one away.
Did you just say...
I just said, oh, sugar.
Did you?
Yes.
I sort of thought you said, yeah. It's true, and it was for the president, wasn't it? President of the United States.
Janis Joplin?
Yeah.
No, it was for John Lennon.
Oh.
Finally, born on this day in 1949, British singer Robert Palmer died in 2003, aged 54. He was a member of the Power Station, true or false?
True.
And in 1986, he had a UK top 10 hit with which song?
Robert Palmer or the Power Station?
Oh, Robert Palmer. I think. I just have to check that. Yes.
No, Some Like It Hot?
No.
If it was the Power Station, it was...
His first... yeah, no.
Is this going to take long?
I'm not doing very well this morning, am I?
It was. Was it with or without the Power Station?
It was without the Power Station, I think.
Get
yes.
It on?
No.
No,
because I did
that as well.
Come on, a single. Didn't it have the... Wasn't it the one with the girls playing the guitar behind him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Addicted to Love.
Yes.
Got there in the end. Yeah, yeah.
Senior moment.
Yeah, I did actually like that very much.
Oh, we'll play something else.
No, I'll play it. No, but I know a lot of people do like it, but no, it just never really struck
me.
No.
Do anything for you.
I didn't really like the Power Station much either.
Really?
In fact, I'm not a huge fan of Robert Palmer all round, if it has to be said. No, I... Don't mind him.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Fine, thank you.
I just had a message from Peter Nugent.
Ooh, the old Australians won't be in very good mood, will they?
No. Time to overhaul the entire side, I'd say.
I think so. All this, you know, Mr. Cricket and all this, you know, new face of Australian cricket. No, good. What did they need? 328 or something? Is that the target?
Something like that. I'll tell you exactly in a minute. They needed 328, and they got to 329 for seven. So, yeah.
That's nice to see, isn't it?
It is very nice.
It was in Australia as well, isn't it? And they've won the
yes,
series, haven't
they? Yes,
they
won the series in Australia, first time for 20 years, apparently. Now, would you describe yourself as middle class?
I suppose so, probably.
Really?
Yes.
Always?
Wouldn't you?
When you were growing up, Milton Keynes, kind of a middle class type place?
I wouldn't say so, probably. I don't know, you know, it's all very deep. Lower middle class, maybe? What constitutes middle class? Who knows?
Well, probably living in a big house in Cobham, I would say. It's a fairly upper middle class. But you're nouveau
rising
riche,
through
aren't
the
you?
Ranks.
You're nouveau riche, aren't you? No.
Well, without the riche.
It all starts with you with the big bang, you know. You got your first Porsche and, you know, you were trading there on the floor. You had a Targa, did you?
No, I'm just saying this is the sort of classic view of the 1980s.
Yeah.
Although, of course, I didn't start until late 1990s, actually.
Friday night binging on Dom Pom in the city bars. You know, those were the days, eh?
Should we move on to markets?
Yes. A bit rudderless yesterday. Wall Street was closed for Martin Luther King Day. Mixed day in Europe.
Yeah, European equities registered minor gains, but nothing certainly dramatic. Investors pausing for breath a little bit ahead of tomorrow's inauguration, I suppose. And also, perhaps more importantly, the earnings season. Stock 600 in Europe was up, but was only up 0.2%. Technology outperformed. Investors still remain nervous, particularly in the short term, given the tighter restrictions that continue to be phased in. Germany, I think, deliberating over whether to escalate lockdown measures that may include a curfew there. Carrefour was the biggest loser yesterday. Shares down 7%. It's after Couche-Tard abandoned its takeover bid. But the opening calls on the European bourses are looking particularly positive this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 45 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 98 points. CAC 40 Paris up 40 points. Main focus today will be on results, I guess, from Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and later in the day coming through from Netflix.
Couche-Tard? That's a rather strange name, isn't it? Sleep late, it means.
Okay.
Or go to bed late.
Okay, well, they've got these big convenience stores, I suppose, so where people sort of work from 3 till, you know, 12 o'clock at night, I suppose. So you do go to bed quite late if you're working in one of those convenience stores.
Like a 7-Eleven, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, but so the French government basically put a spoke in that deal with Carrefour. They said no.
Yeah, not for us, thank you. I mean, there were some promises coming through from the Canadian company. They promised to invest billions of euros into Carrefour stores. And from what you tell me, they're in dire need of some investment.
Well, I wouldn't go that
investment.
Far. It's a bit shabby. It's a bit shabby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay,
have you got a new deal with them or something? You
no,
know, I mean,
not...
normally you lay into Carrefour with abandon.
I'll try not to go.
And now you're
there.
Being... Yeah, well, you see, that's what I mean. So that's what I'm saying. So they do require significant investment, do they?
Well, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there we go.
Yeah.
They promised not to fire workers for 2 years, and there were some other guarantees in there, but none of which decided to sway the French government. You can understand it in some ways. I think it's the largest private employer in France. Carrefour was half of its business from the domestic market, so perhaps not wanting that foreign interference. But also, I think perhaps during COVID, you've realised the importance of food security.
Who'd have thought the French government would get involved in that? I mean, is it something to do with sovereignty? Really, you know.
I can see where you're trying to go with this.
Not trying to go anywhere. Mm. State of fact, isn't it?
Lens you're viewing it through.
Right, we'll move on, shall we? Dubai, the property market is struggling.
Yeah, it is tough times for the Dubai property market. A glut of properties, faltering demand, and the coronavirus have been driving down prices, according to research from JLL. Prices have fallen by around about 30% since the market peak, but that was 7 years ago. Quite incredible. Average home prices fell 8% last year, rent down 12%, and it's 4% below the level that was reached in 2010. Government have been responding to this by setting up a committee to manage supply and demand, with developers calling for a moratorium on new projects. Absolutely incredible when you go to Dubai, isn't it? How quickly the skyline changes, how much has been built over the past couple of decades. 39,000 houses were delivered last year. 53,000 residential property units are scheduled for completion during the course of this year. Prices are 20% above the levels reached in 2010, when property prices crashed 50% following the global credit crisis in 2008. So, particularly volatile market. If you're looking for positive, price declines have been slowing, and buyers have been taking advantage, apparently, of lower prices, cheaper payment plans, and low interest rates. Although the JLL are forecasting prices will decline again this year, between 5% and 8%. So perhaps hold off buying that holiday apartment just yet.
You're just itching to get away, aren't you? I can hear it
I would love to get on a plane. Probably without the chill. I'd love to watch a movie on a plane. I would love some heat. I would love to go somewhere.
Well, it appears you're not alone, because EasyJet says the bookings this summer with its holiday division are up by 250% on last year. Although you wouldn't really want to fly with them, would you?
Happy to fly EasyJet. Morning, Sestelios. I miss our walks around the marina in the morning.
He doesn't.
So, I'm more than happy to fly with our friends at EasyJet, it has to be said. And would love to. And we saw back in the summer, as soon as those restrictions were eased a little bit, plenty of demand coming through. Apparently lots of demand from people who've had the vaccine. So the older generation taking advantage of that, feeling more confident, ready to go on the plane. The question is whether business travel will return at the same rate as holiday passengers, because I think many businesses have realised that you can cut costs, you can continue to do business. One suspects there will be some element coming back. Whether it comes back at 100%, I think remains a little bit more debatable. And that way, I suppose you could argue the likes of EasyJet, the likes of Ryanair would be bigger beneficiaries compared to some of the old traditional flag carriers.
And my plans to get one over the local Audi car dealer seems to have gone up in smoke, because they can't get any chips to make cars at the moment.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, with car demand significantly weak, we've had European car numbers in this morning, actually, that showed that for 2020, car sales dropped 24%. That's the biggest decline that we've seen on record. As a result of that, many of the car manufacturers were not ordering parts. So the chip manufacturers sort of retooled their machines to focus on things like mobile phones and computer game consoles. And now demand they expect to pick up, and apparently the car manufacturers are struggling to get the parts that they need to complete their vehicles.
Could they sort of go around and collect a few games consoles and phones and just take the chips out and put them in the cars instead?
I think they're a different type of chip, but it's not quite a question of just simply swapping them over, as far as I understand, in these things. So I think your Nintendo Switch will be safe for some time.
Right, because otherwise you could be driving along in your car, and the onboard computer suddenly says game over.
Yes. You're pleased with that one? Is that what this whole thing's been about, a build up to that line?
No, it just suddenly occurred to me, but I thought it was reasonably funny. So there you go. Foreign exchanges.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.36 this morning. Euro dollar just below 1.21. You get just over €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
How many cul-de-sacs are there in Milton Keynes?
A lot, to be honest with you. I used to live in a cul-de-sac in Milton Keynes.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
Do you just like a little chopper around you, round and round and round?
I never had a chopper, actually. I would have liked a chopper. I would have liked a rally bike. They were things I would have enjoyed. I didn't have either of those, to be honest with you.
Oh, dear. Well, you got it all now, haven't you?
It's going fast.
Right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyson has the top stories across the Riviera.
A second college in the Alpes-Maritimes has had to close due to COVID. Monday saw the Bellevue College in Beausoleil close its doors to students for at least a week as a precaution after 15 cases of COVID were identified. The closure comes after the Jules Romain College in Nice closed its doors on Friday the 15th after 16 positive cases were declared, including 5 students. In addition, the rule of three is currently in place for establishments which remain open, with classes closed after three cases are identified, which has included the sixth and fourth grades of Stanislas in Nice and Rabelais in L'Escarin. Figures published on Friday show that 92 students have tested positive for COVID out of the 362,000 in the Outmarrow team and the VAR, and 27 staff members out of nearly 36,000 teachers of the Nice Academy. Meanwhile, in Monaco, a nursery class has been closed at the Stella School after a pupil tested positive for COVID on Monday. In accordance with health procedures in the principality, the pupil has been excluded, and as a precautionary measure, the class has been closed from this morning until Sunday the 24th of January inclusive. A staff at the establishment who had been in contact with the pupil will benefit from a PCR test in accordance with the health protocol. As the Principality continues its vaccination campaign, Monaco's Minister of State, Pierre Dartout, will be vaccinated this morning. Emails are to be sent today in Monaco to invite those between the ages of 65 and 74, as well as those under 65 at high risk, to be vaccinated. To date, people aged 75 and over who have expressed their wish to be vaccinated have all received their first injection. For further information on the vaccination campaign in the Principality, you can call 920555 00. That's 920555 00. Meanwhile, seven new cases of COVID were identified in the Principality on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 1,212. 40 people are currently hospitalised, and 108 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. In the Outmarrow team, according to the Regional Health Agency, 21 additional deaths were declared on Monday. 275 people are currently hospitalised, of which 82 people are in intensive care, including 11 new admissions to intensive care units on Monday. Since the start of the pandemic, the Outmarrow team has recorded 971 deaths from COVID, including 244 deaths in nursing homes. And on a national level, France saw the number of deaths from COVID increase on Monday, with 404 deaths declared in 24 hours. That's compared to 141 the day before. There were 1,666 new admissions to hospital, a strong increase compared to 698 on Sunday, bringing the total number of people hospitalised to 25,584. Meanwhile, the Health Council on Public Health in France has warned that while variants of COVID-19 are circulating in France, certain masks made of less filtering fabric should be avoided. And the French government is expected to examine the extension of the closure of ski lifts in French ski resorts during Wednesday's Defence Council meeting. In view of the still worrying health situation, it looks like ski resorts may not be fully reopened anytime soon. Many ski resort professionals fear that resorts will remain partially closed for the February holidays, despite the French president announcing at the end of November that resorts could be reopened in January. Speaking to French media on Monday evening, Prime Minister Jean Castex emphasised that there was no question of prioritising the economic outcome over health issues. Disneyland Paris has announced that it is postponing its reopening by almost 2 months to April the 2nd due to the health crisis. The theme park will not reopen on the 13th of February as initially planned. The group announced on Twitter that if conditions permit, Disneyland Paris will reopen on the 2nd of April. In other news, tens of thousands of people have responded to a social media campaign in France designed to shed light on the problem of sexual abuse within families. The campaign, featuring the hashtag #MeTooIncest, was started over the weekend by Nous Toutes, an organisation battling sexual violence in France. The campaign followed accusations against a prominent political commentator who has been accused by his stepdaughter of abusing her twin brother 30 years ago. He has described the allegations as personal attacks. Finally, for the first time, a vegan restaurant located in southwestern France has won a Michelin star. The establishment serves only animal-free products. The restaurant, ONA, which stands for Origine Non Animale, was launched in 2016 thanks to crowdfunding from supporters and a loan from a green bank.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
So a few years ago, if you said you're a vegetarian in France, they'd ask if you wanted fish or pork.
But
it really has changed. I mean, veganism, they'd never heard of it a couple of years ago, and now it's all the rage. Cricket, they're into the final session of the fourth and final test between Australia and India in Brisbane. It's a real cliffhanger. India look like they're going for the win. There are 15 overs left in the day and the series, and India 259 for 4, needing 69 runs to win the match and the series. Pant is 51 knots out and Agarwal 9 knots out. Cummins took the prize wicket of Pujara a few overs ago, but India are not giving up the fights, and that would be a very, very famous series win if they can pull it off. But 15 overs to go, we'll see what develops. Football, there was one game in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Well, Arsenal moved up into the top half of the Premier League table, but still 10 points off the pace with a 3-0 win attempt at Newcastle United. The BBC's Jonathan Pearce was at the Emirates Stadium.
Arsenal with two goals from Aubameyang and the goal from Bukayo Saka. Handsome, handsome winners here. And after that, what, first 5 minutes? Start by Newcastle United. There's only ever going to be one team that won this.
The former Liverpool defender Stephan Hornshow has told the BBC his old club need to find new solutions to their goal-scoring drought. Liverpool haven't scored in the Premier League since December the 27th, and after Sunday's goalless draw at home to Manchester United, they're 3 points behind United, who topped the table.
They don't have that many options, to be honest. Salah, Firmino and Mane, obviously, you know, they are the three main strikers. Who can replace them and score goals at the moment? I don't see many players who can come in and do that job. Jota is obviously injured. But part of of him, yes, you have Origi, but I don't think he can. He's good enough, and he can score enough goal for Liverpool. It's a concern. You have to find solution, and you have to find them quite quickly.
And Aston Villa have made an inquiry for Marseille's former France under-21 midfielder Morgan Sanson, who is available for around $20 million. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Don't come knocking on Chelsea's door if you're looking for a striker.
Leave us alone.
Well, no, so we haven't got anyone who can score either, so it would be a waste of time. There are two games tonight, West Ham against West Brom.
It's got to be a win for West Ham.
You think so?
I think Sam
got a win at the weekend, didn't he? First win as West Brom manager. Yes, I'll go along with that, West Ham. And Leicester against Chelsea.
I think it might be a draw.
I think Leicester are going to win.
No, I don't think they'll win a draw.
They're doing well, Leicester, and Chelsea aren't. No, Leicester win for me. Now, there's one rearranged FA Cup third round tie tonight. Southampton hosts Shrewsbury Town. Tennis, the Premier Victoria, said there will be no special treatment for players who are quarantining ahead of the Australian Open. Daniel Andrews says the virus doesn't treat you specially, so neither will we. 72 players are confined to their hotel rooms in Melbourne for 14 days as a result of positive coronavirus test results on flights bound for the event. Some players have complained about the restrictions, while others have taken to hitting tennis balls against the walls and windows of their rooms in a bid to stay sharp. And in cycling, Chris Froome has said that he believes he can recover from injury to win a fifth Tour de France title. The 35-year-old will ride for a new team, Israeli Startup Nation, this year after leaving Ineos Grenadiers. He says the winning at his age is the only motivation he needs. Froome's last victory was at the 2018 Giro d'Italia. India's still on 259 for 4, requiring 69 runs to win their fourth test match against Australia in Brisbane. Just under 15 overs left. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maritim in the VAR. The general situation is an anti-cyclone, 1,031 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, rain, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, rain, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Hint of spring in the air yesterday, I thought.
It was very pleasant.
Yeah, nice today as well, mainly fine. Light to moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 13 degrees, overnight lows 8 degrees with rain spreading across the region. That's the end of that then. Wednesday and Thursday, rain with some sunny periods, highs of 10 to 12 degrees, finally.
Money can buy you happiness. People's well-being continues to improve the wealthier they become, no matter how rich they get. According to a new study, it's long been thought that wealth improves people's lives up to a certain point, but then stops making a difference. Previous research suggested the point at which money no longer led to more happiness was around £55,000 a year. However, the new study suggests that feelings of well-being continue to rise with increasing income and that there is no limit to the effect.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
What do you mean, oh, dear?
Ah, I don't think that's true. Don't tell me that's true. Please.
No, I can't believe it.
No. No, it can't be true.
I mean, you do read about so many sort of rich people are quite unhappy, don't you?
Well, maybe it's how you get the money.
I think
maybe
that's what changes it.
Like lottery winners are so overwhelmed maybe with suddenly such a huge amount that, you know, the records have been that most of them have blown it all.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel guilty if I won a lot of money on the lottery. I mean, that's just money for nothing.
No, not feeling guilty, but would you manage it the same way? I doubt it. Oh, no, maybe you would.
I think money gives you choices. It doesn't buy you happiness.
Yes, that's for
I'll
true,
have one
yeah.
of those, and one of those, and two of those, and another one of those.